I want you to open your Bibles up, please, today, and I want to share a lesson today with you. If you'll open your Bibles to Psalms 37, the book of Psalms, Psalms 37, and hold your place there, and I want to talk to you for a while from the subject, worry or trust? Worry or trust? How are you responding to life? Our world is filled with trouble. Jesus said that in the world we would have tribulation. Tribulation is trouble. When we look at our government, we see anger and distrust and division within our government and towards our government. When we look at our nation, we see racial division. We've had mass shootings, Florida, recently in Las Vegas. And then storms that have devastated the Caribbean. Storms that hit Florida, storms that hit Houston and all the surrounding regions. Earthquakes in Mexico. Terrorism in our world. The potential war with North Korea. And an economy that's rebounding but have not fully recovered. And then when you add all these issues, we have all of our family issues. We have all of our individual issues. So the question is, with all this happening around us, how are you responding? Are you worrying or are you trusting? Turn to your neighbor, ask your neighbor the question. Say, are you worrying or are you trusting? Let's look at Psalms 37, verses 1 through 7. I'm reading from the traditional King James. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest. Rest. Turn to your neighbor and say, rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So God never promised us a trouble-free life. But he does promise to help us to overcome every kind of challenge and adversity if we trust him. Say, if we trust him. Here in Psalms 37, we have two things in juxtaposition. We have worry on one hand, and we have trusting on the other hand. Psalms 37, verse 1 instructs the believer to fret not, fret not. This is the same thing that Jesus said in Matthew 6, 25. Jesus says, take no thought for your life. It is the same thing that Paul said differently in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. But when the scripture tells us to fret not, it's telling us, according to the Jerusalem Bible, to do not worry. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, dude, don't worry. Now, in juxtaposition, we see, in contrast to worry, in verse 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord. Verse 5 says, commit thy way to the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Who's going to bring it to pass? So we see these two things. We see worry and trust, worry and trust, worry or trust, worry or trust, worry or trust. So worry and trust are mutually exclusive. In other words, you cannot worry and trust at the same time. You're either trusting or you're worrying, or you're either worrying or you're trusting, but you cannot be worrying and trusting at the same time. So let's talk about worry. What is worry? Worry is a troubling concern about either the past or the present or the future. What is worry? Worry is blatant distrust in the ability, the willingness, and faithfulness of God that results in our unsuccessful attempt to handle our problems ourselves. Look at that. Look at that. It is blatant distrust. Not just distrust. When we worry, it's blatant distrust. It's distrust in God's ability. It's distrust in his willingness. It's distrust in his faithfulness. And it results in our unsuccessful attempt to handle problems ourselves. Whenever you worry, you're going to be unsuccessful. You're going to be unsuccessful. So what's wrong with worry? Well, worry is, number one, detrimental to our bodies. Worry adversely affects the heart, the circulatory system, glands, nervous system, and our immune system. Come on, touch your body. Come on, touch your body. Say, worry will hurt my body. Secondly, worry is detrimental to our minds. It adversely affects our perception, our judgment, and in the extreme, it leads to loss of power to will. And the loss of power to will is what we call a nervous breakdown. Come on, touch your mind, touch your mind. Come on, say, worry will affect your mind. Come on, say it. It will adversely affect your mind. Then worry, thirdly, is detrimental to our spirit. It's detrimental to our spirit because worry is a sin. A lot of Christians don't realize that. Worry is a what? Is a sin. And it chokes and hinders the word of God from working in the life of the believer. That's according to Mark 4:19. So we're going to either worry or trust. So how are you responding to all the things that's going around us, all the things that's happening in our families, all the things that are happening in our individual lives, all the things that are happening externally, all the things that happen internally? Okay, oh, just me and you. I'm not going to tell anybody. It's just between me and you. How are you responding? How are you responding? Are you worrying or are you trusting? Well, let's talk about trust. What is trust? Trust is belief, it's dependency, committal, and transference. Now, something is going to happen to you today. While I'm talking, as you receive the word, something's going to lift off you. Burdens are going to be removed, and yokes are going to be destroyed. In fact, you're going to feel freer when you leave church today. You're going to feel so light. Trust is belief. It always begins with our belief system. Trust is belief that God is reliable. It's belief that God is good. It's belief that God is honest. It's belief that God is capable. Now think about it for a moment. Is God reliable? Can we trust him? Is God good? How much of the time? Is God honest? Would God lie to us? Is he capable? Maybe he cares about us and maybe he wants to help us, but maybe he just doesn't have what it takes to pull it off. Is he capable? So trust begins first with my belief. It begins with my belief because watch this. Listen to this. To worry is blatant distrust. So trust begins with what I believe. Secondly, trust is dependency. It's relying solely on God's strength, God's wisdom, and God's ability. It's what? I'm what? Let me illustrate it. It's relying on his strength. That means I'm not relying on mine. If I'm relying on his wisdom, that means I'm not relying on mine. If I'm relying on his ability, I'm not relying on. So let's illustrate this for just a moment. Anybody ever used a ladder? I want to change the light bulb. I need to change the light bulb. And I used to be around 6 feet, but I've shrunk a little bit. I didn't know that as you get older, sometimes you get shorter. But I've shrunk a little bit. But the light fixture up there, it's about 11 to 12 feet. And I'm going to try to change it. But I can't reach it. I can't reach it, so I have some limitations. My heart is right. And I want to. But I can't. So I have some limitations. Now, I feel real safe standing on my feet. In fact, I feel safer on my feet than I do that ladder. But even though I feel safer, it's a delusion. It's false security. Because I can control things as long as I'm on my feet. And there are a lot of us want to control things. But we have limitations. And even though we have a false sense of security, because we can balance ourselves, we still can't reach the light fixture. So we have to trust the ladder. Now, I can say all I want to. I trust the ladder. I believe the ladders will help me to screw the light bulb in. I trust the ladder. I trust the ladder. I can even sing about trust. I can talk trust. I can define trust. I can talk about how much that ladder will, that ladder get me up to that life fish. I believe in the ladder. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe. I believe in ladders. How many believe? Can I get a witness? Won't the ladder do it? Yes, it will. Won't the ladder do it? Ladder been with me a long time. Ladder with my grandmama. Ladder with my mama. And the ladder is with me. Can I get a witness? Yeah, the ladder will hold me up. I believe in the ladder. Can I get a witness? Yes, sir. All that, no trust. Ain't no trust. This is trust. See, I'm no longer in control. I gotta depend on the ladder. The ladder's strength. The ladder's wisdom. The ladder's ability. See, a lot of us are talking trust. And some of us are even singing trust. And others of us are shouting trust. But we're still in control. You still got it. See, you still got it. You're not trusting until you're depending. Now watch, and you're depending solely. Can't be part on you and part on the ladder. This is not trust. No, I'm still in control. As long as you're still in control, you're not trusting, because trusting is dependency. What are you depending on? Is it your strength? Is it your wisdom? Is it your ability? Who's in control? Just me and just you and I. Just talk to me. Just talk to me. Who really in control? Who has the problem? So trust begins with belief and it moves to dependency. But thirdly, trust is committal. Say committal. Look at what it says in Psalms 55. Psalms 55. And notice what it says in verse 22. Psalms 55. Trust is committal. Say committal. Trust is what? It's committal. Notice what it says in Psalms 55, verse 2. It says in Psalms 55, 22, pardon me, Psalm 55, 22, it says, cast thy burden. You with me? Yes. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall what? Sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now notice what it says. It says, cast thy burden what? Now, committal, watch this now. Committal is entrusting my worries, concerns to the Lord, and I'm recognizing that his shoulders are bigger than mine. Now, that word commit, that word cast means to entrust and deposit. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to give me no details, but how many of you got a bank account? Two of y'all got a bank account. Okay. So this is how you do your bank account. You write a check or cash or whatever, and you make out a deposit slip. And you deposit that money in the bank. Isn't that right? 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 So that word cast means to deposit, to entrust. Now think about it. Think about it for just a moment. Just think about what you're doing. Here you are taking your hard-earned money down to a bank that you don't even know legitimate. You have done no research on it. It was just there, and you took it for granted that everything was in order. And you handed that check or that cash or whatever to a person you do not know. That person may be a thief, may be a robber, they may have everybody tied up behind the counter. And you walk up there, you just walk up there, and you put your money in that bank. Watch this. Talking about trust. Watch this. And you walk away. You don't even think about it no more. You don't check and see whether they put it in the right place or notate. You don't do any of that. You walk away, watch this, and go back expecting it to be there. And you don't even know the folk. Well, if you can do that with folk you don't know, why can't you make a deposit with God? Why can't you just deposit your worries, your concerns, your fears, all the things you're anxious about? Why don't you make a deposit? Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. It's committal. Trust is committal. It's committal. Watch this. Come up. One way you're going to get this. Some going to lift off of you. I said some going to lift off of you. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. You getting anything out of this? Some going to lift off of you. Trust is belief, is dependency, but it's also committal. Say committal. Now look at what it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, the King James Version says, casting all your care upon him, for he what? For he what? For he what? For he what? Now look at the Amplified. Please put the Amplified Bible. Put the Amplified up there. And the Amplified really does wonders for it. Now look at what it says. Cast how much? Cast what?
The whole
of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he. Now read it one more time out loud. Read it one more time. Okay, less, any fishers here, fishermen, wannabe? Think you are? Do you ever catch anything? Okay, now watch this. In the activity or sport of fishing, casting is the act of throwing a bait or lure using a fishing line over on the water with a fishing pole. Let's illustrate it. Here's a would-be fisher. And, you know, I was going to do this, but I said, yeah, I better let somebody else do this. Mess up my illustration, okay? So he's going to cast the bait. Okay, now notice he cast the bait. Watch this. He cast the bait away from him. Right? And he cast it on something else, on the water. That's what you're doing when you're fishing. You're casting away from you. It has to be at what?
Away.
You're casting it where? Where you're casting it?
Away.
Where you're casting it?
Away
from you, but it's somewhere else. So if you're on the bank or you're on the boat or you're in the water, you're casting the lure, you're casting the bait away from you on the water, right? Okay. Now here's what some of the religious folks doing. We call ourselves in prayer doing it, but then we reel it back in. So the analogy has to stop what you're casting. You can't reel it back in. So every time you pray and you cast it on the Lord and you worry about it, then you just reel it back in. It's not on the water. It's not on the Lord. You still got it. So the question is, come on, be honest, it's me and you. I'm not going to tell anybody. Are you worrying? Or are you trusting? Now, it's going to be very important that it's going to be very important. Now, watch this. I want to give another practical illustration. I have, and I want to instruct you to do this, I have what is called a committal sheet. See it? What kind of sheet? Okay. Now, I want you to do this when you get home. I want you to write down on a piece of paper all your worries, all your fears, all your concerns, all your frustrations, all your regrets, and all your anger, past, present, and future. Past, thank you. Present, and future. They took my little note. So look up there. Everything that you regret, because sometimes we still looking back. Sometimes we're still looking back. And maybe what we could or should have done in the past, we didn't do, but there's nothing you can do about it. So at home, I want you to write out a committal sheet, and I want you to write down regrets and look back. Is there anything that you're still holding on to? Now, you can't change it, but you got to cast that. Anything that's bothered you about your past, you got to write that down. Any concerns about your present, anything in your life that you really, is really bothering you, that's about your present, any fears you have. We got young people here today. Maybe you're afraid of taking a test. Maybe you're afraid of moving to a new school. What are you afraid of? Maybe you're afraid of a bully. Maybe you're afraid of somebody. Whatever you're afraid of, you're afraid you're gonna flunk the test. What are you afraid? You're afraid that you're not going to make the team. What are you afraid of? Write it down. Everything that you're afraid of, write it down. Write it down. Every worry that you have, remember that's sin. So everything worrying you, everything worrying, you don't have to think long about this because worry stays on your mind. Everything that you're frustrated about, I'm just frustrated. I've been trying to work this thing out. I'm frustrated. Everything, I want you to write it down. Everything that you're mad about, anger, that angers you. Maybe in a relationship, it may be church, it may be work, it may be whatever. What are you angry about? Because anger will burden you. It pulls you down, it consumes you. So write down everything you're angry about, all of your disappointments. You thought this was going to happen, but it didn't. You thought you were going to get the job, but you didn't get the job. You thought you were going to do this, but you didn't. You thought that was going to happen. You thought the relationship was going to work, but it didn't work. You thought this was going to happen, but it didn't happen. You thought. Unrealized expectations. I want you to write it down. I want you to write it down on your committal sheet. And then I want you to get a wastebasket. Any kind of waste basket will do. You don't have to go and buy one. That one you got at home. And I want you to take your committal sheet and I want you to ball it up. Everything that you've been worried about, everything you've been concerned about, all your fears, all your concerns, and come up, little man, help me out. You shoot basketball? Can you hoop? Okay, let's make it in there. Let's put it in there. You tough, man, you tough. First time. So where are the concerns? In the basket. Where are the worries? Where are the frustrations? Where are the disappointments? So you're gonna do that, and this basket gonna represent God. And you're gonna symbolically release it to God, and you're gonna cast it over on the Lord, and you're gonna leave it right there. Now watch this. And every day when you think about it, every day it just comes to your mind, just flash across your mind. This is what you're gonna say: God has all my concerns. And you're gonna say it with your mouth: God got all my worries. And you're gonna say, I'm not even worried about a thing. You're going to say it with your mouth, because you're going to see that, and may help some of y'all to keep this in your bedroom, where your office, wherever you worry the most, because it's going to be your point of contact. Every time it comes to your mind, every time a thought comes to your mind, you're going to look at it and say, you know, Lord got mine, and I'm worry free. Something is going to happen to you. It's not magical, but it is a point of reference. You remember the time that you did what God said. He said, cast all of your concerns and your worries and your anxieties and your fears. It said, cast it all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Now, finally, say finally. So trust, turn back to Psalms 37 again. I want to show you something, and we're going to look at two scriptures and I'll close right here. Psalms 37. Is this helping you?
Yes.
Is this helping you?
Yes.
When you find Psalms 37, I want you to turn to Proverbs 16. Let's hold those, you won't have to turn anymore. Psalms 37 and Proverbs 16. Trust is belief. It will always lead to dependency. It will always follow up with committal. And then finally, trust is transference. Is what?
Transfer.
It's conveying or moving or shifting ownership from self to who? God. Let me give you two illustrations. In estate planning, a trust is created when the property owner, called a trustor, transfers legal ownership to a person or institution called a trustee to manage that property for the benefit of another person called a beneficiary. So legally in estate planning, in order for there to be a trust, there has to be a transference of ownership. And a transference of management. Now, we understand it better in another illustration. Once a sale has been legally made, ownership is transferred, and the seller is no longer responsible for care, maintenance, insurance. Anybody ever sold a car? You ever sold a home? Now, watch this. What happens when we make a transfer? Two things happen when we make a transfer. We end up having peace. We end up having what?
Peace.
You'll know when you transferred it by your level of peace. You'll have what? Now look at Psalms 37 again, and notice what it says in verse 1, it says, fret not. Verse 3, trust. Verse 5, commit thy way. And then verse 7, rest in the Lord. Now notice rest comes after committal. It comes after trust. Peace manifests when we relinquish ownership of what we face. If it's people, we release ownership, circumstances, decisions, needs, fears. Now listen carefully. We worry because we're still owning the problem. We're still owning the challenge. Now, I look at Proverbs 16. My wife and I sold our last house several years ago. The moment those papers were signed, the closing was over, and we walked out the door, the sale was final. Guess what? Come on, say what? I hadn't thought about that house since. I don't know whether they're paying the utilities. I don't know whether they're keeping up the mortgage. I don't know whether they're cutting the grass. You know why? Because I don't care. Care? Cast all your... See, I don't care. It's not my concern. Because once it was sold, ownership was transferred. I'm no longer responsible for the insurance, for the utilities, for the maintenance, upkeep, because I'm no longer the owner. You're worrying because you're owning it. You're owning the decision. You're owning the need being met. You're owning this. You're owning this. And you're trying to figure it out. And it's frustrating you. And it's frustrating you because you're trying to fix it. Now, I want you to look at Proverbs 16, and you don't have to turn it anymore. Proverbs 16, you have to turn it anymore. You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
See, the word will set you free. I mean, it'll set you free. Now watch this. You remember what the scripture says in Psalms 37:3? Watch this. It says, trust the Lord and do good. It said, trust the Lord and do. 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 Listen carefully. I'm going to show you something. If you're not trusting, you're going to have to figure out what to do. Did you hear what I said? And most of the time, you don't know what to do. But if you're not trusting, you got to figure it out. The Bible says trust and then do something. It said trust and then do good. Trust and do what? But what's good? How do I know what to do? If I don't trust, I'm gonna have to figure it out. Got it? So what I figure out may not be good. Now let me show you this and we'll close right here. Proverbs 16:3 in the traditional Kings, and we'll look at the Amplified. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be what? Thy thoughts shall be what? Now look at the Amplified Bible, Amplified Proverbs 16:3. And I pray you get this. Proverbs 16:3 in the Amplified Bible. Now look at what it says. Roll your work upon the Lord. Commit and trust them what?
Always.
Now watch this. And then he will cause your
trust
to be agreeable to his
will.
And then he shall, and so shall your
yes
be established.
Yes.
Now keep that up there. See how that works? The Bible tells me to trust the Lord and do good, but I don't know what to do. But if I'll give it to the Lord, roll it over on him, then what he's going to do once I transfer ownership to him, then he's going to start working with my mind. He's going to start planting thoughts in my mind, and the thoughts that he planned and that he put in my mind will cause the things that I do, my plans to succeed. Why? Because he's giving me the thoughts on what I should do. Watch this. And I don't have to figure it out because he's telling me what to do. So trust doesn't mean I don't do anything. Trust means I wait on the Lord. I roll it over on him, and then he will inspire my thoughts, and then I make my plans around his inspired thoughts, and then my plans, what I do, will be established and succeed. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. How are you responding to life? Really, honestly. Are you worrying? Or are you trusting? Now you can come here, clap your hands, say that was a good sermon, and go right back out here and pick it right back up and worry all through it, and then you're gonna have to fix it. Because as long as it's in your hand, God ain't gonna touch it. And that's why many Christians don't know what to do, because they still got ownership. Our worrying is blocking the anointing. It's keeping God from giving us instructions. God knows what to do. He ain't trying to figure it out. It's not a mystery to him. It's a mystery to you. And then there are some things, even if you figured out what to do, you have limitations. You can't get there. Even if your brilliant brain, you figure it out, you still need him. So ask your neighbor this. Come on, look at him. Don't be intimidated. Don't let him intimidate you. Ask himself, now are you worrying? Or are you trusting?